Good morning. Today's Daf Mabim Siyah, Lamed Vav, or Lamed Hey, Mabim Beis. We're going to begin at the Mishnah. Third Perek of Mabim Siyah, Perek of Mafkin, so a lot of Shmirah. So in order to appreciate the laws of and the halachas that we're going to be going through here, so it is important for us to just quickly go over the Shomrim. Okay, we did this already, but we're going to do it again. We're going to keep doing it. It'll become basic. In other words, this is just a lot of information which the Mishnayos and the Gemara expects us to know so that we can really appreciate what's happening over here. So, as Shomrim are concerned, so there are three types of Shomrim. There are four types of Shomrim, but I kind of break it down to three because when all said and done, the Socher is like one of them. It's a machlokus, whether a Socher is like a Shomer Chinam or it's like a Shomer Sachar, but I'll try to keep everything as simple as possible, like I normally try to do, and that is we'll start with the Shomer Chinam. Shomer Chinam is somebody's watching an item for another person, and he's doing it for no fee whatsoever. He's not charging. He's doing it out of the good nature of his heart. So his level of liability is extraordinarily low. The item was stolen from him. He lost the item. The item was lost. So I want to be a little bit careful about how I say it, because yesterday, you just remember, we did it yesterday. Right, if you actively lose something, so that I don't think falls under the category of Geneva Vaveda. We yesterday we had a Gemara that a person was asked, "Hey, where did you put it?" He's like, "I have no idea where I put it." So that's not Geneva Vaveda. That's not a Veda. That is Pshia. The Gemara called that Pshia yesterday. Okay, so sorry. Anyway, let's start again. So I give it to a Shomer Chinam. So he has almost no liability. If the item was stolen, if the item was lost, certainly. If an ones occurred to the item, something that was beyond his control, so under any of those circumstances, he's potter. He goes back to the owner, he makes a shvua, right? I didn't misappropriate, I didn't misuse, and this is what happened, and so he's going to be potter, he's not going to have to pay. That's the Shomer Chinam. Then let's move up and let's move up to a Shomer Sachar. Shomer Sachar, you get paid to watch it. You don't get to use the item, but you do get paid just simply to watch it. You're a babysitter, a paid babysitter. Well, doesn't have to be a baby, but in other words, but you are paid to watch it. So as a Shomer Sachar, so now your level of liability increases just a little bit. And that you're going to be chayv in Geneva Ve'aveda. You're not going to be chayv in Ones, but you're going to be chayv in Geneva Ve'aveda. And finally, we move up to Shoel. Now, when it comes to a Shoel, so a Shoel is somebody who borrowed an item, not paying for the item that he borrowed. So he's got all the benefit, and therefore he's going to get all the liability. He's going to be chayv in Geneva Vaveda. He's even going to be chayv in Ones. The only time that he's not going to be chayv is going to be when it's Mesa Machmas Malacha. Mesa Machmas Malacha means that he's just using the animal the way the animal is normally used, and the animal just simply drops dead. So it is an Ones. It's a form of Ones, but it's Mesa Machmas Malacha. I borrowed it to use it for this purpose. I used it exactly as instructed, and it just simply died. Okay, so that would be the patur for the shoel, but that would be the only patur for the shoel. So we have Shomer Chinam, we have Shomer Sachar, and we have shoel. Now, what about the socher, somebody who rents? So it's a machlokus whether or not the renter falls under the category of Shomer Chinam or Shomer Sachar. We're going to be seeing this machlokus a number of times over here in our Masechta. So, okay, anyway, it's a machlokus, which category he belongs in. One other thing we'll add, which is, again, an obvious point, but we're going to add, and that regardless of what kind of Shomer you are, whether you're a Shomer Chinam, Shomer Sachar, or Shoel, so by if you're Poshea, if you're negligent, you're going to be Chayev. You're going to be Chayev if you're Poshea. A Poshea is like a Mazik. It's basically it's tantamount to you actively damaging the animal, and so therefore, by Pshia, you're going to be Chayev. Everyone's going to be Chayev. So far, so good. That's just a very brief introduction. Let's begin with the Mishnah. Mishnah, socher par mechaver v'shil al acher u'meisa kedarka. Okay, so what you did is you rented a cow from your friend, and then what you then in turn did is you lent it to somebody else. Okay. Now, I know the what's formulated in everybody's head right now. That's not true. I don't know what everyone's thinking, but over here it's such an obvious point. I'll just raise it now, but I know that the Gemara is going to discuss it later, and that is you had any right to do that? In other words, when you're renting an item, you could just simply say, "Hey, go ahead and give it to somebody else, lend it to somebody else." Sounds like that's not even allowed. Now, as a simple example, when you rent a car, but as part of the contract, though, in other words, it's not a great comparison because obviously when you're renting a car, so there is a written contract in terms of what you can do, and written in the contract is you're the only one who could drive the car. Nobody else can drive the car. Of course, you can contract with them that somebody else will drive the car, but you understand. In other words, you have absolutely no right to allow anyone else to drive the car. But that's part of the contracted agreement. Over here, we're discussing most of these cases that we're discussing in Bar Mitzvah. So we're looking at what the default setting is. And the default setting is that when I rent an item, I'm renting, in this particular case, a cow. So I can go ahead now and lend it to somebody else. And that's not considered negligence in of itself. So please stay tuned. We're going to wait a little bit. We will approach and we will attack that issue a little bit later on. Okay? I understand that that's probably the first thought that you're thinking. So asocher par mechaver v'ishul alacher mesa kedarka. Now the animal dies, and the animal dies while under the care of the shoel and mesa kedarka. It just died a natural death, if you will. And hashoel yishalom asocher. So the now mesa kedarka over here, let's call it ones, okay? Because I know, right? The shoel does have a ptura mesa kedarka, but let's call this a case of ones. So now, who's got liability and who doesn't have liability? Okay, so as far as the socher is concerned, mesa kedarka, or let's call it ones. So the socher does not have liability. In other words, he would be putter. The shoel does have liability because he borrowed the item; he didn't pay for it. So now, who is the shoel going to be paying for now the death? So the Mishnah tells us it's very simple. It's very simple, and I can totally understand you're not going to be comfortable with this. And that is, so hashoel yishalom l'socher. So according to the Tanakhama, so now what the shoel is going to do is the shoel is going to pay the socher. And then what the socher is going to do in turn is that the socher is going to turn to the owner and say, look, I'm really sorry. In other words, your animal died through an ones, via ones, and so therefore, I don't have to pay you. But because the socher lent it to somebody else, was mashal it to somebody else, so the shoel is going to end up paying the socher. If you're following right now, I hope I'm presenting it well. If you're following right now, it's a really strange scenario, meaning that I rented a cow, I lent it to somebody else, the animal died via ones, so now the renter, not the owner, is going to get reimbursed, compensated for the animal. The owner is not going to get compensated for the animal, all based on the basic rules of Shmira and levels of liability. I'm Rabbi Tarfon. Sorry? I don't know where I came up with Rabbi Tarfon. I'm Rabbi Yossi. So, Ketzad Halaosa Schar Beperosel Shechaver El Atachzer Per Labalim. So Rabbi Yossi says what pretty much we're all thinking. And that is, that's not my cow. I can go ahead and profit from somebody else's cow. How could somebody do any type of commercial activity with somebody else's cow? So the Ella Tachzer Par Labalim. So the shoel is in fact going to be paying, but the shoel is not going to be paying the socher, the renter. The shoel is going to be paying the original owner. Okay, good. Rabbi Yossi's position, probably of the two positions here in the Mishnah, intuitively sounds a little bit more reasonable. Okay, we'll go over that. More in tomorrow's daf than in today's daf. Okay, so far so good. So we are opening up today's daf with a Mishnah, and the Mishnah describes a scenario in which I have three people that are involved. The original owner, the person that rents it, and then the renter, then in turn, lends it to somebody else to use. So I have the Marakama, I have the Socher, and I have the Shoel. And what we're analyzing in our Mishnah is what would end up being if the shoel now, the animal died via ones in the hands of the shoel. Who's the shoel going to be liable for? The shoel has liability. Now it's just a question of who he has liability for. Is it going to be to the owner, or is it going to be to the person who rented it to him? And that's a machlokus in the Mishnah between the Tanakham and Rabbi Yossi. Okay, so far so good. Let's start with the Gemara. So Amalei Ravidi Baravin Labai Mechti B'mai Kanilai Param. So, I'm sorry, I skipped a word, an important word. Socher b'may kanei lahai para. How did the socher acquire the para b'shvua? So in other words, he acquired it by making a shvua. In other words, the only way that he creates exemption for himself is a shvua, and shvua is that mesa kedarka. So name alay maskala socha dal ant vidal shwa sechvana mishta mishta ina dina bahade shawa. So why doesn't the owner say, in other words, I didn't set it up properly. Just for a moment, let's pause for a second. The Gemara now is discussing within the Shita of the Chachamim. Meaning, right now, let's put Rabbi Yossi aside, put him on the back burner. We'll come back to him. Right now, we're just focusing on the Shita of the Chachamim. So within the Shita of the Chachamim, so the show is going to be paying, and the show is going to be paying Socher. That's the middle guy. So now the Gemara wants to know, well, why? Meaning, even within the Shita of the Chachamim, meaning, first and foremost, the Socher now has to exempt himself from the Marakama, from the owner. So what the Gemara's question now is, now I'm going to go back, and I'm not going to reread the Gemara, I'm just simply going to explain what we got up to, and that is, why doesn't the original owner just simply say to the Socher, wait a second, in order for you to become exempt, so you have to make a Shavua to me. I'm not hearing your Shavua. Just, in other words, you're not going to make a Shavua, and you're not going to be exempt to me. I don't want to hear it. So as far as my cow is concerned, well, you're the one who went ahead and lent it to that guy who's now on the hook to pay for it. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to pass right over you and I'm going to go over to him and I'm going to deal with him. Meaning, why doesn't the owner say that? So Amar Lei, Misvara, Socher B'Shvua Hu Dekakani Lei, Mishas Misu Dekakani, Ushvua, Kedei L'Hafiz Daito Shabal Abayas. So Abayas says to Ravidi Bar Avin, so you're mistaken regarding the dynamics of how things work over here. You think the kinyan is done through the shvuah. That's what you think. You're wrong. Abayi says, you're wrong. The kinyan is not done via the shvuah. You know how the kinyan occurs? The kinyan occurs through the death of the animal. Meaning once the animal dies, mesa machmas malacha. Once the animal dies and it's an owner's death, it's at that point in time, the socher now is kona. The shvuah, that's just to appease you. Meaning that you want to know that the animal did not die in any kind of suspicious activity. You want to know that the animal died mesa machmas malacha. But it's not the shvua that creates the kinyan, it's simply the death in of itself that creates the kinyan. Okay. Good. After having gone through that short exchange, so here we go with by far and away the hardest part of today's daf. It's not even close. Okay. What the Gemara now is going to entertain is the following, and that is that again, all this is within the Shita of the Chachamim. Again, Rabbi Yossi is still on the back burner, and he's not coming out. He's not coming out today. We'll come back to him tomorrow. Right. Come back tomorrow for Rabbi Yossi. But right now, within the Shita of the Chachamim, so we just create a scenario in which you're not the owner of the animal, but you're going to get compensated for that animal again, just simply because of the dynamics of the levels of Shmira. You're a socher. You gave it to you gave it to a shoel. His responsibility and liability is higher than you. The animal dies, mesa machmas malacha. So according to the Chachamim, so now you, the socher, are going to get reimbursed, not the owner. Good. That's what we're dealing with. Amar Rabbi Zera Pamim Shabbal Mishamim Kama Paros the Socher. Okay, so I can create a situation in which the owner of the animal is going to end up becoming liable to the renter. Okay. Now, please hang on. And hang on as best as you can. Okay, I know this is complicated, and I know we're going to go through a number of business deals over here. The good news is that there are only two people that are involved in this business deal. So in that regard, it's nice and easy. However, where it gets complicated is that we're going to have a contract built on top of another contract, on top of another contract, and they keep contracting with one another. And this is where it gets complicated. Hey, Chidami. So, okay, so what happened is that the renter says to the owner, I'm going to rent it to you. And the first contract is I'm renting you for 100 days, 100-day rental. Beautiful. And now what he did is that he turned around and the owner said, look, you are right now have rented it, right? And I'm honoring the contract. But do me a favor, though. Of those 100 days of which you're renting, I'd like to borrow my animal. Borrow my own animal. But it makes sense, meaning currently right now, based on the first contract, the renter has all rights to the animal for those 100 days. So now the owner, for whatever life circumstances, the owner now finds himself in a position where he needs to borrow the animal. Can I borrow my animal? It's a funny sentence, but you have to understand it in the context of our Gemara. So sure. So v'hadashar l'minei l'tishim yami. So the And so I want to borrow it not for all 100 days. I want to borrow it for just 90 days. Okay, fine. Now, hadav agra minei, letamnin yomim. Now, later, let's say that all these contractors occurred on the same day. It doesn't matter. As long as it's just sequential, that's the most important part over here in terms of these layered contracts, one on top of the other. It's just easier when all this is occurring on the same day, so we get to look at these, you know, at these contracts a little bit easier. Okay, anyway, I don't think I made anything clearer. I think I made it more complicated, but okay, regardless. Now the renter says to the owner, "Look, I know I lent it to you for 90 days. Of those 90 days, I want to rent it from you, a new contract. I want to rent it for you for the next 80 days. Okay.
Paying a second time.
So he's paying now a second time. He's paying a second rental now. And again, whatever reason, whatever the motivations are. In other words, he had a stronger need now to rent it again. And okay, whatever. I don't have to fill in all the gaps. Over here, you just understand the Gemara is interested really in the concept more than the actual case itself. So now the renter is going to be renting it from a second time, and then v'hadashay l'minei l'shivin yameh. And now, within this new rental contract, the owner says to him, "Oh, do me a favor. I really need to borrow it from you. Can I borrow it now for 70 days? Okay. So now, if you're following over here, we have a rental contract, a borrowing following the rental contract, a second rental contract, and then a borrowing built on top of that second rental contract. It's easy, right? Yeah. Okay, good. I see everyone's head spinning, by the way. My head is spinning. Okay, good. Umesa b'yemei she'elasa. And now what happens is that the animal died during the she'ela. Okay, so now the owner, who happens to be the borrower, not only is he a borrower, he's a 2x borrower. So now it died during yemei she'ela. So akol she'elo she'ela mechayv chadapara. So now what he has to do is he's going to have to pay. In other words, because remember, now a shoal is chayiv, and a shoal is going to be chayiv, and mesa machmas malacha. A shoal is going to be chayiv on ones. And since he's going to be chayiv, so who's he going to be chayiv to? Again, we're within the sheet of the chachamim. Rav Yossi, not today. We're within the sheet of the chachamim. So who is he going to be chayiv to? He's going to be chayiv to the socher. So now the Gemara is just noting, meaning, if you're following this case over here, as complicated as it is, but the case, it brings us to a point of absurdity where the owner now has to pay for his very own animal to the renter. Not only is he going to be paying for the renter, he's going to be paying to the renter two times over. Once for the first borrowing and the second time for the second borrowing. So Amale Ravach, and by the way, feel free. In other words, it's important. Go through the Rashi over here. Rashi takes it step by step, right? I summarize the case over here, but Rashi, extraordinarily long, but really takes us step by step through the scenario and really describes each chiyuv. So Amalei Rav Acha Midiftel Ravina Michti Chada Parihi. So Ayla V'Afke, Afke Mischiris V'Ayla L'Sheila, Afke Mishela V'Ayla L'Sheiris. So Rav Acha Midiftel says to Ravina, I understand that there are multiple contracts, but it's over the same animal. Meaning, I'm going to be objecting to the idea that it's multiple rentals and it's multiple borrowings. Multiple rentals and multiple borrowings. I could certainly hear if there are that many people that are involved in the transaction. But over here, it's the same two people involved in the transaction. And because we've layered one contract on the other, we're gonna count contracts. Don't count contracts. Count people. It's two people. So Amrle umisalapar beina dinema lehachi. So he said, look, if the animal was still around, meaning had the animal not died, I'd be interested in hearing your argument. Don't count contracts, count people. I'd hear that. But where's the animal right now? The animal died. And now we're only looking at liability. So if the animal died and we're looking at liability, so now let's go over what happened. A rental, a lending. A rental, a lending. In other words, because the animal is no longer here, so the only thing that we're left with is our contractual agreements. And there are not one, but there are two she'elas. Okay. So Marber of Ashi Amar, Ein li aleim ela shtei paros, chada de she'ela v'chada de schiros. So shum sheila achasi v'shum schiras achasi. De sheila kind of legamre and de schiras ava be yemei schiraso umehadu leilamara. So and as far as Mar Bar Rashi is concerned, so he says that the way I see it is that it's one schirus and it's one sheila, meaning that even though there was in fact a second round of renting lending, he says when all said and done, I'm going to look at all the renting as one. I'm going to look at all the lending as one, and so therefore I agree with the. With the basic premise that the owner is going to have to pay, but he's not going to have to pay two times over. He's going to pay one time over. It's only, when all said and done, it's only one lending and one renting. Okay. Ad Khan takes us to the first part of today's daf, and I have to admit that is by far and away the hardest part of today's daf. The Gemara just wanted to entertain the idea that the owner is not only going to have to pay for his own animal, right, in this circumstance, but we can even at least try to argue he's going to have to pay for the animal two times over for his very own animal. Okay, put that aside. I totally understand, right, that was a challenging part of today's daf. We continue. Okay, the remainder of today.
It also seems that he may have to give him two animals additional for the 10 days that he was short.
Yeah, correct. Rashi points that out as well. Okay. Right, very good. Right. Rashi points that out as well.
Yeah,
okay, good. I'm Rav Yirmiyah Pam Shishneyem Bechatas. Yeah, correct, by the way. I really oversimplify when I explained it, but in a chanami. I'm Rav Yirmiyah Pam Shishneyem Bechatas. Pamim Shishneyem Ba'asham Pam Shasocha Bechatas Vashol Ba'asham Pamim Shasocha Ba'asham Vashol Bechatas. Okay, now, here's what we all know. And that is that if you make a shvua, so if the shvua that you made is correct and honest, so you're good. But what if the shvua that you made was a lie? So you're going to be chayev. Now, what carbon are you going to be chayev? So it depends. If your lying shvua resulted in kfiras mamon, so you're chayev and asham, right? In Baba Kama we cited this carbon numerous times. So the asham on kofar b'mamon. So fine, it's a carbon asham. And if, on the other hand, you just simply lied, but it does not, by the way, that's described as an ashem gzelos. If, on the other hand, you lied, but it did not result in a kfiras mamon, so then you're going to be chayev, but just a standard carbon chatas. So, sometimes the two of them are going to be chayev a ashem, sometimes both a chatas, sometimes one an ashem, the other a chatas. And haketzad said. So, all we're going to do now is we're just simply going to play this out. Okay, so for example. So kfiras mamon, so asham and bitu svasaim chatas. I'm sorry, haketzad kfiras mamon asham bitu svasaim chatas. Sorry, the first things first, and that is that we're just laying out the facts, which we already did. So pamim shishem bechatas kagon mesa gadarka. Okay, so let's say what happens is that the animal died a natural death. Okay, ones and amru neensa. And and what happened was is that the two of them said that the animal was stolen. Okay, socher de ben kach ben kach mifter pater bechatas. Now, as far as the socher is concerned, so the socher is going to be absolved from liability in either scenario, whether the case of onus or whether the case of geneva. So now, from the socher standpoint, when he lies falsely, now I don't know what's motivating him right now, but it doesn't matter. The Gemara has a point to make. And that is that now that he's lying, but that lying is not going to result in a p'tur mamon, so now that's a simple standard carbon chatas. Shol de ben kach uven kach chayuv mechayve bechatas. Now from the shol standpoint also, this lie that he's reporting, the animal was stolen, the animal was not stolen, it died through onus. But he's a shol, he'd be chayv either way. So because he'd be chayv either way, so once again, that lie is not going to result in kfiras mamon. And so therefore, he's going to be chayev, but only chayev a carbon chatas, not a carbon asham. Good? Pamim shishneim ba'asham, kigon shenignav avamru meisa machmas malacha. So now, let's say the animal was stolen, and they're both reporting, their claim is, the animal died, machmas malacha. So this is ones, it's super ones. Meaning, Mesa Machmas Malacha creates a patur for everybody. So Tarvayuka Kafri Bet Mamona Dam Mechayv Kapashu Nafshayu. Meaning, here, if the animal was stolen, and the Mesa Machmas Malacha, so now they are Kofar Bet Mamon. And so therefore they're going to be Chayv, and they're both going to be Chayv Karban Hashem. So Chibachatus Vishal Ba'ashem Ketzad, Kigon Shemesa Kedarka. So now let's go over Socher and Shoal, where the Socher is Chatas and the Shoal is an Asham. So let's say the animal, what happened? The animal died via Ones. Amru, Mesa Machmas Malacha. And the two of them said the animal died, Machmas Malacha. Again, super Ones. So Socher, the Menkach, Menkach, Mr. Potter. So Chayv Chatas. So as far as the Socher is concerned, so he's going to be Potter. He'll be Potter whether the truth, meaning Mesa Machmas Malacha, and the truth was Mesa Kedarka, but he's going to be Potter. And he'd be Potter Mesa Machmas Malacha. So in his lie that he reported, so there's no Kfiras Mamon. So he's Chayv Chatas. But the Shoal on the other end, the Mesa Kedarka, the Kapata Nafshei, the Mesa Machmas Malacha, Asham. But as far as the Shoal is concerned, if the truth were told, he'd be Chayev. The lie that's reported, he'd be Potter. So this is a Kfiras Mamon lie. Therefore, he's Chayev Karban Asham. And finally, Socher Basham Vishal Bechatas Kegon Shenignava. The animal was stolen, Vamra Mesa Kedarka. And they say the animal died, Ones. Socher, who de Mechai Begneva, Vavedeva Kapata Navshe Be Mesa Kedarka Be Asham. So as far as the Socher is concerned, so what we're looking from the standpoint of the Socher is Kfiras Mamon. And therefore, is Asham. And Benkach, and Shoal, Benkach, Benkach, Chayev Mechai Bechatas. And the Shoal either way is going to be Chayv, because again, the Shoal is going to have liability for both of the circumstances. So therefore, his claim is only going to result in his claim is not going to result in a Kfiras Mamon. Therefore, you're going to be Chayv. Chayv Karban Chatas. Okay. Now, what comes out from all this, by the way, is, let's just say it simply. And that is that if you lie, but with no monetary gain, that's a standard full shvua chayv chatas, chiv chatas. And if you lie with a financial gain to stand with a gain of not having to pay, that's kfiras mamon, and there you're chayv and asham asham gzelus. That's all that came out from here. And it was just all we just did. We did the mental gymnastics of, you know, both of them could be chayv and asham, both of them could be chayv chatas, one and asham, the other chatas. But the truth of the matter is that the rules are really straightforward. And the Gemara then asked my Kamash Malan. Great. So, it's a good exercise, but what did we get from all that? So, La'afuket Rabbi Amad Amar Kol Shvur Shadayar Mashpim Mosam Min Chayiv Malan Mishem Shvur Zbitui Shenemar O Nefesh Ki Si Shava Levate Besfasayim Ki Si Shava Me'atzma. So, Kamash Malan Delok Rabbi Ami. Okay, in other words, the point of this exercise is that there is a shita out there, notably Rabbi Ami, who happens to be of the position that shvuos bitui tfasayim, your chayev achatas only when the shvuah is coming uninduced. You're saying the shvuah on your own. No one prodded you. No one prompted you. But if based and prompted you, according to Rabbi Ami, you're not chayev karban achatas. It's a drasha, right? I'm not gonna try to give a svara for it. Maybe there is a svara, regardless. That's the sheet of Rabbi Ami. So the point of all this is that we're not holding like Rabbi Ami. Okay, lafuke. That was the point of the exercise. Okay, and now we begin. We are in Bamitzi Alamed Vav Amid Aleph, and we're going to be asking and discussing one of the more basic topics over here in the third parak of the Masechta. It Marshomer Shemasal Shomer. So now Shomer Shemasal Shomer. You were entrusted as a custodian to watch an item, and then in turn, what did you do? You handed it off to another person to be a secondary shomer. Okay. You were unauthorized. You didn't say to the owner, you can go back to the owner, ask him permission. You did this on your own. This was your executive decision to now hand it over to a secondary shomer. So is that an act of negligence? Yes or no? Okay. It's a machlokas. So, Rav Amar Pater, Rav Yochanan Amar Chayef. So, Rav's position, I have to admit, is going to be harder to defend. It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to defend it, but it'll be harder to defend. Rav Yochanan's position is going to be much easier to defend. Start with Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says, you're Chayef. So, The Rav Yochanan's chiyuv is generated by the very simple fact that who told you you could do that? I gave it to you to watch, which means that I'm trusting you. You then in turn give it to somebody else, right? Who gave you that kind of executive decision-making power? Not me. So in other words, Rav Yochanan's position will be, I trusted you, I didn't trust him. What about Rav? Let's hold off on that. We're gonna try to defend Rav. Amar Abaye. Litame de Rav Lami Baye Shamachinim Shemasal Shomer. I'm sorry. Let's do that again. Litame de Rav Lami Baye Shamachinim Shemasal Shomer Sacher de Iluye Ilaye Lishmiraso Elafila Shomer Sacher Shemasal Shomerchinim de Grui Grui Lishmiraso Pater My Time Mahamasra Lebendas. So Abaye, an explanation of Rav, says the following. Rav's position that the Yishomer Shemasal Yishomer is going to be Pater will be even under the circumstances in which the first Shomer gives it to the secondary Shomer, and the secondary Shomer has even less responsibility than the first Shomer. Even still, Rav's argument would be Pater. Why? So over here, they were given precious little, but were given something. And that is the Amasul Ben Das.
Isn't the second Shomer more
Afilu Shomer Sacher Shemasul Shomer Chinam. Right. No, it's good. So why? Because you gave it over to a Ben Das. Meaning that according to Rav, as long as you gave it to a responsible party, granted his level of responsibility is less than your responsibility, but you gave it to a responsible party, and so therefore this is not an act of negligence. Now, obviously then, you're going to have to work with what happened, what's his level of liability, is he chayv, is he putter, but the simple handing over from first shomer to secondary shomer, according to Rav, is in of itself not an act of negligence. I give it to someone who is a ben das. He's a responsible person. So ulatami de Rav Yochanan lomi by shomer sacher shemasal lomer shomer chinam de grui gari lishmiras so lafilu shomer chinam shemasal shomer sacher de aluye ilaya lishmiras so chayev damer lei ein ritzonis sheyeh patron biad acher. And as far as Rav Yochanan is concerned, Rav Yochanan will tell you, I don't care whether you upgraded in shmira. Right, you're on a lower level of Shmira. You gave it to a secondary Shomer who is on a higher level of Shmira. Rav Yochanan's position is, I don't care. You did not have the right to hand it over to somebody else to watch. I gave it to you to watch. It's you and only you that I trusted. I did not trust anyone else. Ein ritzoni she'ei pikdon b'yad acher. It's not my will. You violated my will. My will was you should watch it. You gave it to somebody else. Not interested. And not only not interested, but that in of itself now turns into an act of negligence. And so therefore, anything happens to the animal, which under normal circumstances, you would have been putter for, not here. You will not be putter for it here. Okay. So far, so good. So we have a very basic machlokas. Now, hopefully this sounds familiar to you because we did this before. Right? Shomer, shemasal, shomer. So we discussed it back in Baba Kama. Right, I'm looking at the side of the Gemara over here. I wish I could remember which topim they were, but Yudalf Ninvav. Twice in Baba Kama, we touched on this topic. And here in Bab Metzia, this is the main location, the primary location of this discussion, as we are here in the third parak of Bab Metzia, and we're discussing Shomrim. So this is it. So Amr Chista, Hadarav La Beferishet Mar La Mechlala. Okay, so Rav's position that a shomer shel masal shomer is okay. It's acceptable. Rav didn't say it explicitly. It just happens to be that we have a case that occurred. We know what Rav Paskin, and now we're learning this deductively. The obvious risk that you take when you're learning something deductively is that your deduction may be wrong. But we'll get to that point momentarily. Dahani ginai dechol yomava mifkidei marayu gabi dahi safta. Gardeners every day, so when they would take the lunch break, so what they would do is that they would go over to a safta, an elderly woman who they trusted. And everyone says, look, we're going to go out for lunch. Here's the shovels. Can you watch them for us? Yes? Thank you. And this safta and this older woman was a trustworthy person who was a shomer, and this happened on a daily basis. Now, one day what happened was the following, is that they all went and they left their shovels, not by the safter who they normally do, but in other words, one of the gardeners decided that he's not going out today for lunch, for whatever reason. And so all the other gardeners took their shovel and handed it to the one remaining gardener. Now the one remaining gardener, so all of a sudden he got excited. He heard a chasna. There was a chasna running through town. And he said, oh, I got to go. But I got all these shovels. What do I do with all these shovels? Safta. I'll just give it over to Safta. And that's exactly what he did. Afkindinu lagabadei Safta, so he gave it over to Safta. Ada zavasa ignav marayhu. And now what happens was is that the shovels were stolen from Safta. So Azul came to Rav Upatre, so they went over to Rav and they asked Rav, what's the halacha? And Rav says, Pater. In other words, she's a Shomer Chinam. We're talking about Geneva, and the Shomer Chinam is Pater from Geneva. Okay, so far so good. So now, isn't this an example of Shomer Shemassel Shomer? So that's the observation, that's the deduction. Man dechazos avre mishum Shomer Shemassel Shomer Pater. So the deduction is that this is an example, Shomer Shemassel Shomer. And it must be that according to Rav, Shomer Shemassel Shomer is going to be Pater. Must be. So Velohi. And the Gemara says, and you know what? I think your deduction is wrong. I'm not challenging the case. The case is what the case is. But I think your deduction is absolutely wrong. So Shani Hasam, the Chol Yumanami Inu Gufay Gabadai Safta Havu Mifkadei Lahu. That's not Shomer Shemassel Shomer. They're using her every single day. So over here, this is somebody that we all know that they trust. And so over here, just because of one particular day where they handed it over to one guy, here, watch it for us, and the one guy wanted to go, he says, okay, I'll give it to Safta. Yeah, that's the same Shomer that we're using every single day. This is not Shomer Shemassel Shomer. Shomer Shemassel Shomer is going to be gross negligence, because who told you that you can go ahead and give it to a secondary Shomer and deputize somebody else to watch it for me? Who told you to do that? But over here, implicit in this particular scenario, we've been trusting Safta every single day. It happens to be that one day, one gardener decided to stay back, so we all left it by the one gardener. But you know and I know that we would have been very happy if Safta would have watched it for us. This is not an example of Shomer Shemassel Shomer. So it's an awkward conclusion, meaning what comes out now from the Gemara is that we said that Shomer Shemassel Shomer, Rav says you're Pater. But we don't know that Rav really feels that way. We only think he feels that way because of the case that occurred, and we're only gleaning and deducing from the story, but hey, we may be wrong. Oh, okay. So when all said and done, Rav may not hold Shomer Shemassel Shomer's Pater. Okay, that's awkward. Yasa Rabbi Amma Vikamala Hashmaita Esve. Okay, so. But at least now, let's go forward. And you know where we're headed, by the way. It's the obvious destination would be our Mishnah. So Esve Rabbi Abba Bar Marmala Rabbi Ami Asochar Par Mechaver Avi Shila Acher Mesa Kadarka Yishava Socher Shemesa Kadarka Vashol Mishal Nesocher. Okay, we go back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah that started off our daf today, and that is that I have now two Shomrim. The first one's the Socher, and the second one is the Shoel. And again, the whole point of our Mishnah is that we're going to have this awkward, right, almost absurd scenario in which the Socher is going to get reimbursed, but the original owner is not going to get reimbursed. Okay, that was the point of the Mishnah. But meanwhile, in other words, take that away from the Mishnah, and what do you have? Shomer, Shemassel Shomer. The socher then now handed over to a secondary watchman. Now again, the secondary watchman happens to be a shoel, but again, that's inconsequential within this discussion. Who told the socher that he can go ahead now and sub it out to somebody else? So the v'im isa lemalei ain ritzoni shei pekdoni v'yad acher. If you, Rav Yochanan, is right, so why don't we just go back to our Mishnah and just ask the really simple question: who said you could do that? You, the socher, who told you could do that? Nobody told you could do that. If Rav Yochanan Shita is correct, this is a classic scenario of Shomer Shemassel Shomer, and discussion over. You, the socher, had no right to do that. You are liable in of itself. What happened? I don't care what happened. You gave it to a secondary Shomer. So Amalei Hacha Ben Maiskin B'Shenasa Lo Habalim Rishus LaHashel. Oh, okay. So in order to defend Rav Yochanan, we're going to say something really simple, but we're going to have to say it, and that is permission was granted in our Mishnah. So the owner said to the socher, "I'm renting it to you. You want to go ahead and lend it out afterwards? You have my permission to do so." So we hachi lebalim by shlume. So if that's true, so then shouldn't he have to pay the owner? So in other words, meaning, aren't we now, isn't the right way to look at the socher is as nothing more than just simply a shliach? He now is renting it, but he also is serving as an agent, because effectively he was given permission from the owner to go ahead and lend it to whoever he wants. But is he acting on his own? No, he's not acting as his own. He's now acting simply as an agent of the original owner. So in the event of mishap and in the event of compensation, so shouldn't the owner get reimbursed? If you're right that this is a case where permission's granted, so then the Mishnah then makes no sense. The payment should go back to the owner. Amar le ladatcha. So the Gemara says, okay, so we'll throw in one more wrinkle into the akimta of our Mishnah. And that is that permission is granted and you're not acting as my agent. In other words, you're acting as an independent. Whatever you decide and whatever you deem. You have my permission to go ahead and lend it out to anybody else, but not as my agent, just simply on your own. Lidadcha. Okay. So that's saying a lot within the Mishnah, totally understood. But in other words, what the Gemara
what's that category? If there's not an agent, what's the category then?
Right. In other words, as part of the rental agreement, I'm now also allowing you to go and give it to somebody else. But not, in other words, as you as the renter, not as me as the owner. Okay.
But he's not getting paid for it, the middle guy.
No. In other words, yeah, what? What?
Agent of what?
No, before the Gemara said Ladadcha, the Gemara says that that's now Shlichus. Well, if it's Shlichus, so then payment should go back to the Marakama. Good. So the Gemara now has to add in Ladadcha. Which means you're not doing it on my behalf; it's for you.
Even the shlichus, I don't understand. I'm renting it.
Yeah.
So I'm a renter. I got to pay for it. So that, I'm a shlich to pass it on to him.
Yeah, because the owner told me I'm allowed. The owner told me I'm allowed to.
But that's okay.
Okay. So our Mishnah. Because of the ukimtas that we just put into the Mishnah, so our Mishnah is not involved in the discussion of Shomer Shemasa L'Shomer. Okay, good. Meizu Rami Bechama Mafkid Maos Eitzel Chavero Tzaron V'Yivshin La'Chorav. So here we have a Mishnah coming up later in our Masechta. Daf Mem Bei is a week away. And the Mishnah tells us that I give money over to my friend to watch. And what does he do? Terrible job. He puts it in a knapsack. He puts a knapsack on his back. And Muslim Livno Bito Katan and Vinal Bifnaim. And what he did, alternatively, what he did is he gave it over to his minor children. In other words, these are just simple examples of gross negligence of, okay, I'm going to watch it, but in the worst possible way. Okay? And Shalokaroi. So in any of these cases, so now he's going to be Chayev. And even if we're describing a Shomer Chinam, he's going to be Chayev. Because again, what we're looking at over here is Pshia. In other words, you did not do so in a responsible manner. This falls under the category of poshea. So time adiktanim hagadolim pater. So now we're just going to be medayik in that Mishnah. Okay, what was gross negligence? Handing it over to his children, but specifically his minor children. But if he handed it over to his adult children, that would not be considered gross negligence. That would not be considered pshia. And now, right? And under those circumstances, assuming that whatever happened to the, in this case, money, whatever happened to the money does not fall into the category of Shia, Pater, he'd be Pater. Now again, this is a kasha on Rav Yochanan. Because according to Rav Yochanan, when I ask you to watch it, it means you to the exclusion of anybody else. And I didn't authorize. I didn't allow you to give it to somebody else. And over here in this Mishnah, Daf Mem Beis, so if he handed it over to his adult children, again, the Mishnah doesn't say it, but it's meduyak in the Mishnah. Had he handed it over to his adult children, that would have been fine. And according to Rav Yochanan, that's not fine. So Amai, name Alei, in Ritzoni, Shei Bigdoni, Biad Achir. So Amar Rava, so Rava will explain the following as we turn to the Amud Beis. Kol HaMafkid Al Das Isha Avanavu Mafkid. So the Gemara says is that, no, family unit. And that is that when I ask somebody to watch it, so it's understood, it's implicit in that request that I say you, I mean you and your family. Okay. Amri Nardai Dekanami Diktani Osha Muslim Livno Vito Katanim Chayev. Halivno Levito Gedolim Pater Michlal the Acherim Loshna Gedolim Loshna Katanim Chayev Dim Kane Liste Katanim Stama Shmamina. And the Gemara says and Nardai says that's a correct shot. Absolutely correct. Because the Mishnah could have just simply said the word Kitanim. It didn't. The Mishnah said Bito Ubino Kitanim. Because the Mishnah is within family unit. And the point is that even within family unit, handing it to a minor, that's irresponsible. But within family unit, handing it to an adult within the family, that's not irresponsible. Otherwise stated, that's fine. That would be fine. The owner didn't authorize on that. No, it's understood. Okay. Amarava. Hilchas Hashem 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 Hashem. So, and Rava now brings us to a halachic conclusion over here, and with this we're going to conclude as well today. And that is that Shomer 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 is going to be chayiv, meaning, like the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan, lo mi bai Shomer 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 Chinam degurui gar l'shmir tzor lafi l'shomer chinam. Shomer 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 chayiv mai taima, at mehem deli b'shua, heich lo mehem li b'shua. And over here, Rava, he passes like Rabbi Yochanan, but careful reading of the Gemara tells us that he may not agree with the same reasoning as Rabbi Yochanan. You can discuss this point at length, but I'll just quickly go over why, according to Rava, do I feel Rav Yochanan's right? Shomer Shemusel Shomer Tzchayev, because effectively I say to him the following. In other words, look, something goes south over here, something goes wrong, so you're going to have to make a shvuah to me. I trust you. I trust your shvuah. But then when you deputize the secondary shomer, and now something went wrong, I'm not trusting his shvuah. It's very similar to what Rav Yochanan said, but to be fair, not the same. It's not the exact same thing that Rav Yochanan said. Right? What was the lashon of Rav Yochanan?
It was negligence.
Right? Right? Ein ritzoni shiyei pikdonei b'yad acher. And to be fair, by the way, that wasn't Rav Yochanan saying it. That was the Gemara's explanation within Rav Yochanan. Okay, again, whether it's the same or whether it's slightly different, subtle differences between them, the larger point is that the Gemara's conclusion, Shomer 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 is going to be chayiv, that is an act of negligence on the part of the Shomer. And so therefore, whatever happens to the item from that point going forward, so there is going to be a liability from the Shomer to the Marakama. Now, mind you, by the way, what we didn't discuss over the course of this discussion is what about the second shomer to the first shomer? Meaning, is there going to be any kind of, what will be the liability over there? Okay. That really wasn't the focal point of the Gemara, although that is a fair question to ask and it definitely demands an answer. But in the meantime, however, just from the relationship of the shomer to the Marakama, once the shomer goes ahead and gives it to a secondary shomer, that's an act of pshia. Good. And that's Gemara's conclusion. Okay, and tomorrow we'll do the next big topic. Tchilasa v'pshia v'sofa ba'ones. Coming up tomorrow.